And turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 tonight. We are still in our series called The Dark Side of Love. I know it seems really weird, but we were studying through the book of Zephaniah. And I don't know about you, but I'm trying to learn from men that and scholars that are smarter than I am when I can find them. Just kidding. There's lots of them. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Oh, listen, you haven't done anything for the Lord until they start bad-mouthing you on Twitter. So, there you go. All right. Now, we were studying through Zephaniah, and I was trying to find people who had taught through it before. You know, MacArthur had a little blurb in his commentary. Garner had a little blurb. Yeah, it's all good, but nobody had ever preached the message. Couldn't find one on YouTube. Couldn't find one anywhere to preach a message. So I thought, I'll just preach through the book. So I did. But we came across a reference called the Day of the Lord. I don't know if you remember that or not, but in Zephaniah, that's not the text, but it's the premise of the whole series. Zephaniah chapter number 1 in verse 7, the Bible says, "Hold thy peace at thy presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand." We talked about what the day of the Lord is. It's when Jesus Christ actually comes back and puts his feet on the ground. Just as Jesus came the first time in like a twofold fashion, we had the cradle and then the presentation at Jerusalem and put him on a cross. We've got the rapture and the revelation. They're separate moments on the prophetic timeline. They're only 7 years apart. Now, I'm going to give you my opinion. My opinion won't buy coffee in this town, but they're 7 years apart in my opinion. That's what I'm looking for. I believe it's going to happen. But so go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want to talk to you about the things that are surrounding the day of the Lord, the things that are going to happen leading up to it and the things afterward. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to jump around a lot tonight, so you may want to just take notes. Of course, the outline is up on the web under resources. All of my outlines are on the web under resources. If you go to sermon audios, click on a sermon and it'll give you the PDF. Brother Phil's got that all organized out for us. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. Look what the Bible reads. Well, let's read it together. I'll read the 13, the odds, you'll read the even. So here we go. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, you'll hear this talked about all the time at sermons or at funerals, the sermon at the funeral or the reading at the funeral, because for believers, we will see our loved ones again. For believers, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and they know Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior, you're going to see them at this moment in time. Now, this is a literal future event. The coming of the day of the Lord is a literal future event. Now, we just read about what comes before it. That's what I believe to be the rapture. The entire world is in a date, has a date with destiny at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's coming before that revelation is what we refer to as the rapture. Now, the word rapture is not in the Bible. It's not there. Okay? But it's what it's the term we've given to the event of what we call the great catching away. Now, verse 18 tells us that this news that we're going to be caught away should comfort us, and I believe it should. Now, we have the promise that he's coming. In the Old Testament, God said he would come. That's why Titus 1:2 says, "In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie." Our God can't lie. He said he's coming. He's coming. I had a guy who was supposed to meet with me today, didn't show up. And I'm like, you know, my God is going to show when he says he is, all right? He actually showed, I just missed him. But anyhow, it's the way it works, it's the way it works. It's not his fault, it's mine. I was too busy reading. Anyway, in John 14, Jesus said he would come. In Acts 1, the angels said he would come. In 2 Thessalonians 1, the apostles said he would come. Why don't we look at that? In John 14, you know, it's, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Right? I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'll come again. Right? Well, in Acts 1, the angel said, this same Jesus who you see go will come in like manner. Right? All right. Look at 2 Thessalonians 1. It happens. People make promises and things. It wasn't that guy's fault today. I was in my office reading. He was at the front door, didn't know it was unlocked, and we kind of missed each other. Bless his heart. I hate doing that. Some people wake up screaming in the middle of the night because they had that dream when they're standing in front of a room full of people in their underwear. You've never had that dream? Huh? I wake up screaming thinking I missed an appointment. You know what I'm saying? I wake up screaming thinking it's the funeral home going, well, it's 10 after you're supposed to be here. Or that the wedding chapel, it's 20 after and the bride is here waiting. And you're like, I wake up screaming in a cold sweat. Huh? Look at 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6. Seeing is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. This is talking about the revelation, not the rapture. This is the day of the Lord in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed. See, he's coming. Now, the Bible did say, leading up to all of these events, the rapture, the tribulation, and the day of the Lord, there would be scoffers. Take your Bible, go to 2 Peter. If you're taking notes, 2 Peter, you need to see this now. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse 1. This second epistle I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and the Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Scoffers are people who see revealed truth and deny it. You've checked this on C-SPAN all the time. When they try to, you ever try to nail a senator down? It's like putting Jell-O on a wall. And they won't answer yes or no. Walking after their own lusts. Why do they do that? Why do they scoff? Because it benefits their flesh. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That's the definition of evolution. For this they willingly are ignorant of. It means they're dumb on purpose. It benefits them to be unknowledgeable, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. What is it that they scoff at? They scoff at the truth of the Bible. As I've told you, this has been the absolute truth for 6,000 years of human existence. It'll be the absolute truth for eons into the future when time will be no more. It's still true. Every one of thy judgments, righteous judgments, endureth forever, the Bible says. You must understand, the Bible is true. But these scoffers are willingly ignorant of what? The creation, the flood, and the coming judgment. Because knowledge of such things makes you have to make a decision. Forces you to make a decision. So they'll deny the Bible. They'll also try to destroy believers. Look at Matthew chapter 24. This is what's leading up to the rapture. Look at Matthew chapter 24. The end is not yet, the Bible says in Matthew 24. And Jesus answered in verse 4 and said, answer unto them that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. There's some guy over in the Philippines dresses in a white suit, says he's Jesus. And everybody follows him. Thousands of people will pack stadiums to come see this guy who says he's Jesus. Why does he need an airplane when he can just walk on water? I don't understand that. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Have we ever known there's never been a time in human history when there wasn't a war somewhere. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. We're not there yet. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I want you to understand some 55 plus million or 55 million plus people have given their life's blood to preserve the truth of this word over the past 2,000 years. Their story is written in blood in the court documents of the Roman Catholic Church, the Protestant churches, and the congregational churches that persecuted people and called them heretics who believed only in scriptural authority, who believed in only salvation by grace through faith, who believed in only the local church and not the universal. That believe. There's all these different doctrines that have, you don't track them by their name, you track them by the doctrines. And Jesus said, they're going to persecute you for my sake. Isn't that crazy? But that's coming. In 2 Peter 2:1, the Bible says that there'll be false teachers among you and privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, that even question whether or not what Jesus did on the cross actually pays for our sin. They'll teach works. They'll teach that you've got to get baptized or you have to maintain it through the Lord's Supper, confession, and other types of things. These are all outside the lines of the Bible. I'd be happy to sit down and show you if you have questions. I'm not here to badmouth your ancestors. My ancestors were believed in a lot of that stuff, but that's not what the Bible teaches. See, all of this stuff was prophesied by Jesus 2,000 years ago that would lead up to these crucial events, the rapture, the tribulation, and the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the day of the Lord, which is what I'm talking about. So in 1 Thessalonians 4, we were just there. Let's look at it now. 1 Thessalonians 4. This just really struck a chord with us because we're seeing prophecy fulfilled in the last days. Look at this. Verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. But I would not have you ignorant or unknowing concerning them which are asleep. That's folks who have died. Knowing they knew Jesus as their Savior, but they had died. That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Brothers and sisters, I do funerals with people who don't have churches. And you can tell the ones that were saved and you can tell the ones that are not. They have no hope. They're in such a dismay that there's no words to describe it. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now verse 15 says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain. Paul expected to be alive when Jesus came. And a lot of people will say, well, I've been saying that since Paul. Well, that's what the prophecy said people would say. But it's true. I expect to be alive when Jesus comes. We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go ahead of them which are asleep. Do you know why the people who are buried rise from the grave first? They have 6 feet farther to fly. Look at verse 16. It's true, though. Mount Comfort will be plowed ground. Arlington Cemetery will look like plowed ground. Look at verse 16. For the Lord himself, not his avatar, not his spirit, shall descend from heaven with a shout. I've told you that. I believe that's out of the Song of Solomon. The bridegroom cometh, and he shouts, arise, my love, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, you and I, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. You buried your mom and dad and they know the Lord. You're going to see them again. You're going to see them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, the big question is, what are we going to look like? Are we going to be just as good looking as we are right now? Or, I mean, I was really good looking when I was 23. I know you don't believe that, but I got photographic evidence. I was good looking at 20. Am I going to be 23 for eternity? I was pretty good looking at 32. I was 220, lean and mean. And am I going to be 30? I don't know. The Bible says that our body will be like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ after his resurrection. Take your Bible, go to 1 John 3:2. I know this is a big question in a lot of people's minds. What are we going to be like? What are we going to look like? Look what it says here. In 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he, that's Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to be able to recognize each other. He sat down and ate with them. He said, handle me and see, touch me, boys. I'm real. I'm not a ghost. He appeared in a locked room. Now that's a slick trick. Wouldn't you like to be able to travel at the speed of thought and appear places? Like jumper, like jump. Anyway, you say, that's crazy. I don't know. I just know that the Bible teaches that your current body is not suited for eternity in a sinless environment. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, Paul is trying to explain this to the church at Corinth, and he's using like gardening illustrations. If you've ever planted a garden full of vegetables. So in verse number 35, look what he says. When Jesus comes in the clouds, you understand, we're talking about the rapture. You and I are going to rise and we're going to be changed. That's what 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50 says. It says here, now this I say, that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Do you understand? Whether you're asleep in the grave or you're awake and walking on this planet, you will be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this body that gets sick, you know, I think it's interesting. You know, I tell you, I looked really good when I was 23. And you know, I don't look too bad from about 100 yards away. But you know, the closer you get, my face really looks like a road map. You know what I mean? All the lines and the marks and the scars. That's why my wife wanted me to grow my hair out to cover up all the scars in my scalp. You know, the truth is this body is corruptible. It gets sick. It gets old. What don't hurt don't work no more. Your hair turns gray and the rest of it falls out and turns loose. You know, it's corruptible. But it's going to put on incorruption. It'll be a body that never gets sick. It doesn't age. It never dies. It does not change. Look what it says. This incorruption corruptible must put on incorruption. So this mortal, and this mortal must put on immortality. This one that dies will put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Well, what's that going to look like? So when you back up to verse number 35, Paul's trying to explain it. He says, listen, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. That seed you put in the ground, it's not going to grow anything unless it gets put in the ground. Now look at it. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. Look at it. It may chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as that pleased him. And so to every seed his own body. Now, here's the thing. If you've never done this, y'all try this with your kids. Take some seeds, take a wet napkin, put the seeds in it, and stick it in a cup up on a windowsill. And those seeds will sprout. And once they sprout, you can transfer them to a pot of dirt. And the plant that grows is so much grander and more glorious than the little seed you put in the ground. That's what it's going to be like. Does that mean we're all going to be 16 feet tall and big as a horse? Nah, I don't know, but he's saying, that which I plant, when you lay here in your casket and we preach the message and then we bury you, that which gets put in the ground is like a seed. And that which is going to come out of the ground changed will be so much grander and glorious than what we put in the ground. It's not even describable. That's what it's going to be like when Jesus comes. You will be changed. And you won't be like you are right now. Corruptible, mortal.
finite. You'll be. It's just not without. It's without words. Now in Luke 17, it says that the rapture is a worldwide event. Look at Luke 17 and verse 34. I tell you, in that night, it's going to be night somewhere when Jesus returns, which means it's going to be daytime somewhere at the moment Jesus. You realize that right now, right? It's dark outside. But on the other side of the planet, it ain't dark. Brother Michael Kim, it's 20 minutes to 8 here. It's 20 minutes to 9 in Seoul, Korea. It's sunny. It's the lights up, and everybody's gone off to work in Korea. Okay? So look what it says. I tell you, in the night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other left. Shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. You don't go in the field in the dark. Right? One shall be taken, the other left. It's going to be a worldwide event. Some folks are going to be asleep. Some folks are going to be heading into work. Some folks are going to be at work. Some folks are going to be eating lunch. Some folks in different time zone. People are going to be doing different parts of their day at the very instant when Jesus comes back. This is what Titus 2:13 refers to as our blessed hope. The personal imminent return of Jesus for his saved. Now, the rapture and the revelation are separated by 7 years of tribulation. Look at Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 21. These are the events leading up to the day of the Lord when Jesus actually touches down and judges. Look at this now. Matthew 24 and verse 21. Verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. That means nobody would survive it if God didn't shorten it to 7 years. The redeemed of Jesus Christ will not go through the tribulation. That's my personal opinion. I'm going to tell you why. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I don't believe you and I are going to go through the tribulation. I'm not looking for the tribulation. I'm looking for Jesus in the clouds. I am looking for the shout. I'm listening for the trumpet. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 9. For God, look at this now. The word for means because. Because in chapter 5 and verses 1 through 8, he's talking about the day of the Lord's wrath. That's the day of the Lord. All right? It says here in verse 9, for God hath not appointed us. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the saved folks at the First Baptist Church of Thessalonica. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Whether you're dead or alive, when he comes, you're going to live with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Otherwise, it's not going to be comforting to go through the great tribulation. You know, it's the time of Jacob's trouble. That's what it says in Jeremiah 30 and verse 11. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. This is God dealing with Israel, trying to get Israel's heart to come back. In Revelation 3 and verse 10, he's talking to the church at Philadelphia. He says, because thou hast kept my word, the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's all churches. He's talking to all of us. We are not looking for the tribulation, but we are looking for the rapture of the saints. You're in 1 Thessalonians. Go back to chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10. Look what he says here. In verse 9, he says how we are turned from God turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he hath raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. This isn't just Pastor Mix's theology. I believe the Bible teaches that time of the Great Tribulation, he ain't dealing with us. See, you and I have already judged ourselves sinners. We already took the witness stand against our own soul and confessed and said, God, you're righteous. I'm a sinner. Please save me. So we're going to be delivered from that. And at the rapture, Jesus is coming for his church. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:1. Look at this now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, he's talking to the folks at the First Baptist Church of Thessalonica. Brethren, we beseech you by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. It's coming. He's about to exhort them to holy living, but he's like, listen, guys, he's coming. Now at the revelation, see, at the rapture, he's coming for his saints. But at the revelation, 7 years later, he's coming with his saints. Listen to what it says in Revelation 19:14. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That's you and I. See, the rapture's always been a mystery, something that was previously unknown. In Matthew 24:27, it said it'll be like lightning. It'll be a flash and we'll be gone. But at the revelation, he'll be coming in majesty. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2 and 3. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, that was from Zephaniah 1:7, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Because whenever you see the word for, it means because. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. You know, the thief comes when you don't expect him, and when you think you're all secure. I think it's pretty interesting that all I hear coming out of our nation's capital is peace and safety. This is for we can have peace and safety. Now, I know that he's talking about the revelation, but he'll come when they feel they are secure. At the rapture, Jesus shall come as a bridegroom, Matthew 25:6. And at midnight, there's a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. But at the revelation, he will come as the sovereign King of Kings. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's the revelation. Jesus is coming visibly at the revelation. That's what the angel said to the 11 apostles on the Mount of Olives. This same Jesus shall come, so come in like manner as you've seen him go. On the day when Jesus is visible to everyone in the world, he will touch the top of the Mount of Olives. The end of the tribulation, he will come and set up his messianic kingdom. All of this will be in fulfillment of Psalm 89, verses 3 and 4, where God made David a promise that the Messiah would come through him. And in Daniel, you have Daniel chapter 2, you have the vision of Nebuchadnezzar of all the kingdoms of the world, and the last kingdom of clay and iron will be destroyed by a mountain. That's Jesus' millennial kingdom. In Revelation 19 and verse 11, he will come victoriously. In Revelation chapter 19, this is what the day of the Lord will be like. On Revelation 19 verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him, which is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. As I said, this is from Zephaniah 1 on how it's the day of the Lord. Now, in Luke 17, the Bible said it would be like the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, even on the day when Noah went in the ark. You know, Noah sat on that ark with those stinking animals 7 days before the first drop fell. They fully thought he was crazy until rain started hitting him on the head. He also says in Luke 17, it'll be like the days of Lot, who knew not when the angels departed from Sodom. So in 1 Thessalonians 5, it talks about the revelation. It talks about him coming vengefully. Look at Revelation 19. Well, I already read it, Revelation 19, where he said he'll come with a flame of fire. But in Zechariah 14, for sake of time, if you're taking notes, that's when he actually touches down on the Mount of Olives and it splits. And the city of Jerusalem is elevated and he repels the armies of the Antichrist out. That's in Zechariah 14, verses 4 through 11. Look it up later. The Bible says in Revelation 14 that they are in the winepress of the wrath of God, and the blood will flow to the horse bridles of the armies of the Antichrist as they die. Then Satan will be incarcerated. Look at Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the keys of the bottomless pit. The battle of Armageddon's over. The Antichrist lost. He and the false prophet have been cast into the lake of fire. And I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. That is the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. That is the mountain cut out without hands that destroys Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. And set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till, that means he's going to come out, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And you think to yourself, why would God do that? Because of all the countless people born during the millennial reign need to have the same opportunity and clear choice that you were given. God does not like robots. He wants every human being to make a choice for themselves. And whether you like it or not, the devil does the will of God by presenting a clear choice to those who don't know the Lord. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. In 2 Peter chapter 3, when the 1,000 years and the final battle is over, the earth will be renovated by fire. Look at 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. So you have the rapture where he comes for his saints, 7 years of Jacob's trouble, the great tribulation like never has seen before or since. Then you have the revelation where Jesus actually touches down and judges, the battle of Armageddon. Then you have 1,000 years of peace. It was promised to Abraham's descendants they would own the land. Then the final judgment at the great white throne. 2 Peter 3:10, after that is all over. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. We already know that. In the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Somebody asks you if you believe in the Big Bang. You say, yes, I do. Just hadn't happened yet. It's some 1,007 and 7 years from now and some change. Okay, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things should be dissolved. Dissolved, that's an interesting word. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. In Revelation 22 and verse 20, now that you've been made aware, now that you know the next thing on the prophetic timetable, Israel has become a nation again, the fig tree has put forth its leaf, a generation shall not pass until all be fulfilled, 1948. So we know it's coming. The rapture is coming next. I'm looking for the rapture. I'm not looking for the tribulation. A couple of times now, I've received a packet in the taped on the door that has a jump drive in it that says, put this someplace in view of your church, because whoever is left here during the tribulation is going to come looking for the truth. I'm not kidding. You look it up inside, there is all the prophecies and the Bible teaching on what they're going to experience. It also has folders in it of how to distill water and how to grow your own plants, because you're not going to be able to buy or sell. Our missionary, Mike Hopper, was turned away from the grocery store in Kinshasa, the capital city of Kenya, last week because he didn't have his vaccination. Now, you tell me the Antichrist is going to have any problem keeping people who realize I was stupid. I should have listened to what my wife or my husband said. I should have listened to my parents. They were right. Jesus is Lord. They're not going to be able to go to the store. Now, you think those crazy Christians who drop that stuff out of church are a little off the wall? No, they just believe the Bible's true. You know, and we may think it's kind of cute, but the truth is, people who've heard the gospel will believe a lie, but those who never really, really had a clear plan are going to get an opportunity. And once they do, it'll cost them their life. They'll be hunted like dogs. And they'll have to live off the grid, but eventually they'll be found. Because countless millions, it says in Revelation, they all lost their head because they wouldn't take the mark of the beast. Who are those people? People who believed when they saw you were gone. You know, we have those little stickers on the door that says, in case of fire, save my dog. I'm like, no, save me. But in case of rapture, would somebody please come feed my dog? Because I'm not going to come back. And that's just the reality of it all. Maybe when at the height of COVID, when COVID and all the hysteria happened, maybe you were like me and you sat your children down and you said, now listen, if daddy and I die, have you ever had that conversation? Have you put everything in a book in case daddy and mommy die in a wreck? You think that won't happen to you? It happens to people all the time. Have you sat your kids down and say, now listen, Jesus is coming. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? One day I might just be gone. Everybody at the church will be gone. Look what it says in Revelation 22 and verse 20. That's not the right verse. I'm in 2 Peter. No wonder it didn't read right. Revelation 22 and verse 20. The last promise God gave to us was of the return of Jesus. He which testifieth to these things say, surely I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. You know, the last prayer in Scripture is come. You need to learn about His coming. You need to be looking for His coming. You need to be living for His coming. The Bible says we're to occupy till He comes. But even so, I long for His coming. Are you ready? If you died today, are you sure you'd go to heaven? You're going to wake up in glory? Do you know? Why do you know? What is it your faith and trust is actually in? Can you explain it to me like I'm 5 years old? If you're not sure, it's the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you and me. That's what saves. And the fact that I'm willing to just, I trust Christ by repenting of my sin and calling upon Him, and that's how I was saved. You say, well, that's one time. Yeah, I believe it's a one-time thing too, but I'm still trusting in that blood today. I still trust that that's what's going to get me into heaven. Are you baptized? Are you separated? Are you separated from this world, and are you serving as a member of one of His churches? These are commands God left us when He left. That's what's coming. And are you ready? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I find it interesting that the Bible says comfort one another with these words. I find comfort in the fact that Jesus is coming for me. That He's not left me here and forgotten me here. I told you this story. I'll tell you it again. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I was at Mount Comfort Cemetery doing a funeral. And a lady came in the office and asked the director what she was to do with this urn of remains. And he said, where'd you get it? Well, I bought a house. And it was in the closet. Somebody left grandma in the house, sold the house and moved. So he said, did you call the previous owner? She said, yes. And what did they say? It was there when they bought the house. Do you honestly think God doesn't know where you are? He loves you so much. He's got His eye on you, His hand on you, and He is waiting for His will to be fulfilled, and then He's going to send His Son to come get us. We're not misplaced. We're not missing in His inventory. He knows us. He loves us. And the fact that He would leave heaven to come get us is just as magnificent as the fact that he would leave heaven to come save us. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for not leaving us ignorant of what's coming. Thank you for telling us the truth and allowing us to prepare. What comfort it is to know that you love us like this. That this life is not all there is, but we've got an eternal life ahead of us without time in a body that'll never grow old again, that'll never get sick or die, that'll be grand and glorious beyond our wildest imagination. And God, you're coming to take us home. And Father, for that we praise you, for that is a love that is beyond our understanding. Tonight, God, from your word, it challenges us to be ready, to not be looking for the tribulation or the Antichrist or the mark, but to be looking for the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, the shout, the catching away. And Father, tonight, if there's one among us that is yet to be saved, that is yet to know the truth, give them the courage and the conviction to step out, to come and receive Christ. And us, your children, Father, please direct us that we might be ready when the day comes. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, maybe something touched your heart tonight. Maybe the Lord brought something into mind tonight that he wants you ready. He wants you ready. Won't you take a moment and pray? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you, God, for the truth. Thank you for preserving it in our language perfectly. Thank you that you've given us a copy that we may know it and internalize it. And God, that we may live in such a way that it brings you glory, that others will want to know the truth and become your children as well. Bless us as we go our separate ways tonight and keep us safe in Jesus' name. Amen.